When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Friday here on the North Shore Drive podcast, and we're on the North Shore here at Mike's Beer Bar, the best bottle of Pittsburgh. Myself and Brian Batko breaking down all the things you need to talk about and be ready for in the NFL draft with the Steelers picks coming up next week. All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with one of our great Steelers beat writers, Brian Batko. And we're here on set here at Mike's Beer Bar, where we will be here next week for the Thursday and Friday, the first, second, and third rounds of the NFL draft, doing a live show. Join us at Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh, right here on in the North Shore on Federal Street. It's across the street from PNC Park. You can't see it here, but there's over 20 televisions here that are always going. They have all the sports that you could want, over 500 different available beers, 300 of those local beers, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap, and they're always switching new ones in and out. We'll have more on them later. Brian!
Yeah, you could call this a dry run for next week's show.
Absolutely.
Literally. I mean, it's pretty early right now. It's 10:53 as we're recording this Friday. So
Brian was
no
very
drinking beer right now.
Brian was very upset that he could not get an IPA during the show.
Well, we'll see how long this goes for. I mean, maybe we'll get into my window. But yeah, it's going to be fun to have you guys down here next week while Ray Fittipaldo, Jerry Dulac, and I are over at the Steelers facility
working
for the draft.
Hard.
And yeah, and we're close. We're getting really close to seeing who are the next seven more or less players that the Steelers bring in here through the draft, Chris.
Absolutely. I want to go over their top 30 visits because now we've seen who those players are, and now we have a better sense of who the Steelers might be focusing in on. And Brian, you released a great article that ranked your vision of those top 30 visits, who are the top first round targets, and your first four here in the first tier are all offensive linemen. Break it down for you, how you have these guys ranked and why you have them where they're at.
Yeah, I mean, did this last year too, because I think it does give you a pretty good look at what positions the Steelers are targeting and then what players within those positions they're most interested in. By and large, bringing them in for a visit tells you that that those are firmly on their radar. So last year they took Broderick Jones. He was number one on this list.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens again with another Georgia tackle, because I've got a Amarius Mims as the number one guy, but in the top tier. So, I mean, you do tiers, you know, everybody's kind of bunched up. There's not a huge drop off from one to four in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got Mims at one, Taliesa Fuaga, the Oregon State offensive tackle, at two. Very difficult for me to differentiate between those two because they're both right tackle guys. That's what they played all last
Ballers.
Season in college, for sure. You know, a lot of upside, I think, if you get either one of those
right
into your offensive line right now and allow Broderick Jones to flip over to the left side. Number three and four divert a little bit. I've got Graham Barton, the Duke offensive lineman, at three, hence this hat I'm wearing today as a signal of all the kind of momentum. No, let's say the Graham Barton wave that is taking place lately with Steelers draft analysts. So I've got him at three. Can probably give it a shot at tackle, but more so a lot of people projecting him to be a center, which we know the Steelers have an even bigger need than tackle. And then at number four, closing out this top tier, Troy Fa'utanu from Washington, because again, you know, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Is he a center? Either way, you know, he's probably going to be a pretty good football player. We're going to get more into the details of all those guys later.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about these guys as from a sense of what the Steelers are. Now, full disclosure, again, these are players that we're expecting to be there available at 20th overall. Like, for example, Joe Alt would, of course, rank above all these guys. Yes. But that guy's not making out of the top.
And he wasn't a visitor.
Exactly. So, and he wasn't a visitor. Neither was Olu Fashanu. So understand when there's like, well, why aren't these guys here? That's why. We're looking, again, at the top 30 visits here. And I always think it's interesting, though, and I think it's it's really interesting that you ranked Amarius Mims highest. I don't have Amarius Mims ranked higher talent-wise, but as far as players who the Steelers have circled around, he is the only offensive lineman on this list who got a official combine interview, the Steelers' top brass at his pro day, and right. the top 30 visit. Now, Troy Fotanu, he did get an assistant coach at his in Washington. Same with Talisa Fuaga. Arthur Smith showed up to his, but not the top brass at his pro days. Plus, Fuaga was talked to at the Senior Bowl, not the combine. But still, I look at those guys. We see those. Those are the guys they're circling in on. J.C. Latham, another guy that they've kind of circled in on. But as I think you've kind of highlighted here, we'll get to the next group of guys. Those are the guys that do rank up in that first tier there.
Yeah, they probably check the most boxes traditionally for how the Steelers target and approach their first-round picks. And Graham Barton, I don't know if you mentioned this, he had Arthur Smith at his pro day as well at Duke, which was crucial for him because he had to snap the ball and try to show teams that he can play center, which he hasn't done since 2020, his freshman year at Duke. Yeah, everybody was raving about not just that aspect of his pro day, but the quickness he showed in some of the athletic tests.
40 times,
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of reason why he's getting this late push here, less than a week from the draft.
In your second tier, you have a few more centers, guys that were originally people are talking about as being the Steelers' targets in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I've got this tier titled still solid, but a little bit reachy, right? I mean, you're going to get some people saying Jackson Powers Johnson here at number 5 for me, the Oregon center, not worth the 20th overall pick. At number 6, I've got Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma right tackle, who another big, long guy who played on the right side at Oklahoma, although he has pointed out he did that for a left-handed quarterback, so that's a little bit like playing the blind side in a traditional offense with a right-handed quarterback. And then at number 7 here, closing out tier 2, all the guys that I think would really thread that needle of positions of need for the Steelers and genuine, legitimate top 20 talents, maybe, is Zach Frazier, the West Virginia center, possibly the safest, highest floor pick out of all these guys. But a lot of people question how high is his ceiling really coming out of West Virginia. And he was a local visit, so he didn't cost the Steelers anything to bring him in.
Absolutely. And Zach Frazier, Jackson Powers Johnson, originally were the two guys that were talked about the most at center before Graham Barton really positioned himself as more of a center for a lot of people. But I think that those are guys that if the Steelers consider trading back in the first round, like we're going to get to your worst case scenario draft. Like let's say that a worst case scenario happens and they feel like trading back is the best option. Maybe these are the guys they get if they trade back to 25, 27, one of those picks there. So we talk about that there. Let's go to your last row, your third tier here, and you get into some of the defensive prospects. Who do you have listed here as guys that they could take on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I just titled this one, but what if defense? What if the Steelers want to throw everybody a curveball and say, look, we haven't used our top pick on a defensive player since 2019. We feel like we need a difference maker, a game changer if we're picking 20th, and maybe we think we can get that with one of these three. At number 8, I've got Cooper DeJean, the Iowa corner. Really athletic player, a lot of versatility. That's why I rank him first. Yes. On the back end with Minkah Fitzpatrick, DeMonte Casey, players like that. Right behind him at number 9, Nate Wiggins, Clemson corner. Much more of a true blazing speed outside corner. He'd be a kind of a fellow alpha dog opposite Joey Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. And then at number 10, sort of the sleeperest pick out of these, three tiers, I'd say Darius Robinson, Missouri defensive lineman. I don't think he's going to go this high. He's going to be at the draft mainly because he's a Detroit native, but he also is been a winner of this pre-draft process. He's 6'5", 285, just has that typical build of what the Steelers are looking for in their DNs.
And he said he's willing to play inside and outside. If teams want him as an edge rusher, he could do that. Team one as an interior guy, he could do that. Steelers love guys that can be versatile. That's certainly an option here. Last group of here, second-day wide receivers. Actually, you got a few more groups here. Let's go with your wide receivers.
We don't have to get to all of them.
Let's go with your wide receivers here.
Yeah, I mean, this is the area where clearly the Steelers are targeting guys that they're going to be there at 20.
Yeah.
But, I think we can all agree that they're homing in a little bit more on tackles and centers, possibly even corners. But then they're trying to draw a circle a little bit around some guys that they wanted to learn more about in case they're there at 51 or potential trade-up targets. And Adonai Mitchell from Texas, I've got him at the top of this tier, number 11. Overall, number 12, Ricky Pearsall from Florida right behind him. A little bit smaller, a little bit, less with the explosion numbers and athleticism. but very productive in his own right. Number 13, Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky, the smallest of this group, but, you know, run after catchability, maybe unparalleled in this draft. And then number 14, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. He could end up being the best of the bunch, really high ceiling.
But
what gives me some pause is just took him till his fifth year to really produce at all at South Carolina. You want to make sure it's not a flash in the pan type of guy.
Absolutely. Those are the top of his ranking. But if you want to read through all of the top 30 visits,
the second half, if you will.
Exactly. Go to post-gazette.com. Brian's broken it down wonderfully. That includes also the local guys like Matt Gonsalves from Pitt and MJ Devonshire, guys who will be in the draft class and maybe get some Steelers consideration later in the process. Not first round picks, but maybe second, third, fourth, fifth round. That could be the sweet spot for some of those guys. But if you want all that, go to post-gazette.com. Also, as we're about to talk about, Brian, last week we did his best case scenario for how the board could fall for the Steelers in the first round. Now we'll do the worst case scenario. That's what's coming up after this break here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by the place we're in right now. That's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And I mean that. I love coming to Mike's Beer Bar because if I want my sports fix, they have over 20 televisions. You're getting any sport, whether it's golf, whether it's the NHL, the NBA, and wrestling, whatever your fix is, they got it here. They also have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap every single day, and they're switching new ones in and out all the time. Whether you like stouts, IPAs, Hefeweizens, light beers, regular lagers, domestics, imported, they have all of those available here at Mike's Beer Bar. They also have amazing food like their steak on a stone. You choose your choice cut of steak. It's brought to you on a heated stone. Every piece you cut off, you press into the stone, and you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. So come down to Mike's Beer Bar today on Federal Street across from PNC Park. And when you get here, tell them Chris sent you. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko, one of our Steelers beat writers. Awesome job that he does all the time. Now, Brian, like I said, last week, you broke down the best case scenario of all the quarterbacks and none of the offensive tackles flew off the board. What could the Steelers end up picking? And it kind of set up an easy slate there. But now this week, we want to go over the worst case scenario and the Steelers bracing themselves for what if none of the positions, like some of those premier positions, like offensive tackles, don't fall their way.
Yeah, I think as, you know, real NFL front offices and scouting departments navigate the finishing touches of their draft process, this is probably more of the scenario that you need to concern yourself with, right? I mean, you get to the best case stuff and you're going to feel good with whoever you walk away with that first night of the draft. You look at this, though, and, you know, again, the top three are unchanged from last week's exercise. It's the QBs, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, whatever order you want to place him in, doesn't really matter. But in this one, a guy who, it would be a shock if it happened in real life, but much more likely that Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State wide receiver, would go fourth overall to the Cardinals. And it's not a matter of taking him out of Pittsburgh's hands, but it's going to push all the receivers up if one goes at four. So then I've got Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
That's the big change from last week.
No, Alt was there. The big change is Marvin Harrison.
Apologies.
Joe Alt, though, I mean, I think the Chargers are going to zero in on an O-lineman. But again, at six, Malik Nabers from LSU. This would kind of cause that early run on wideouts that would deplete the depth to some degree for the Steelers. They'd just have to be really comfortable with a lot of the homework they did on, say, receivers 10 through 15 once you get into that second round.
Absolutely. You look at how it breaks down through the top 10 in this one. You now have three offensive tackles off the board, Alt at five to the Chargers, Pashanu at seven to the Titans, and then Latham, J.C. Latham, the guy out of Alabama, to the Jets at 10. And then also you have all three wide receivers. So in this scenario, and a corner off the board here. So no edge rushers go in this situation, which is a position where the Steelers have plenty of that.
With
J.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, and even Nick Herbig, as he came on strong last year. And so then
– and no fourth quarterback, which this would be a big fall for J.J. McCarthy. We've seen the smoke screens before draft time. Guys get sort of artificially propped up, and then – when push comes to shove on draft day,
they're sitting there
past, pick number 10 in this case.
So in this case scenario, you do have McCarthy going at 11, but that's later than when you had him in your first, I believe.
Yep.
And so that kind of pushes it. So then in this full disclosure, spoiler, there are no other quarterbacks that come after McCarthy and before the Steelers.
Yeah, if you remember last week, Bo Nix and Michael Penix went 12 and 13.
You had six quarterbacks of the 19 picks ahead. that again, put you want if you're the Steelers, you want more quarterbacks.
Yeah, you want them all. You want to push down talent at the other positions.
Yes.
And you know, they hope that happens. They hope there's quarterback mania around the NFL, but there's no guarantee. It's always very tricky to gauge just how much these teams and head coaches and GM. We know that quarterbacks are always the most polarizing players at any position. So in this case, yeah, instead of going QB, the Broncos take Brian Thomas Jr., LSU wide receiver, who some national folks are still thinking the Steelers could have their eyes on him. He's a guy who didn't visit here. I don't know that I saw he took many pre-draft visits. Maybe that just wasn't really something he and his representation were interested in. They might feel really good about his stock overall.
He led the country in touchdowns.
You put on the film, and he's pretty special. So if he goes 12, that's one fewer receiver who could potentially be there at 20 or 50. And then 13, I've got the Raiders taking Taliesa Fuaga, another tackle,
a big
off the board.
The Steelers.
And at 14, the Saints taking Amarius Mims. And man, that would be a gut punch for the Steelers for sure.
Absolutely. And so again, so at that point, at the top 14, you now have what, 5 offensive tackles off the board.
Yep.
And in my book, there are 6 guys that are worth the 20th overall pick in this class with Fatanu. And in your next 5 picks, you have Brock Bowers going off the board. That's not a big deal. The Steelers don't necessarily need
tight end
right
now. And I think from what I've heard and read, you know, the Colts are definitely not going to pass up on him if he's there. So, hey, you might be someone who thinks it'd be really fun to put him in Arthur Smith's tight end-centric offense, but I just don't think that's really something they're thinking about.
Yeah, that's not a concern of theirs. Then you have 2 centers fly off the board here. Jackson Powers-Johnson at 16 to the Seahawks, and then Graham Barton at 18 to the Bengals, and a corner, Nate Wiggins, at 17 to the Jaguars. And then at 19, Troy Faltenu, the last offensive tackle that I think both you and I have is worthy of 20th overall, he flies off the board. So at this scenario, you now have 6 offensive tackles that have gone off the board. I believe
2 centers.
2 centers. Is it 2 or 3 corners here?
You got Quinn 2. Mitchell. Only 2.
Only 2. So that's the thing here that I think is interesting is the top positions of need for the Steelers are offensive tackle, corner, center, and wide receiver. Wide receiver, you have 4 guys gone, and you're down to maybe an Adonai Mitchell as your top option there. Center, your top 2 guys are gone, so maybe you're down to a Zach Frazier there. Tackle, your top 6 are gone, so you're down to like a Tyler Guyton. But corner, in this scenario,
Or D-line,
because no D-line was taken. So you could have Jerzon Newton or Byron Murphy out of Texas.
Or Darius Robinson, who we talked about in the first segment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this would throw a wrench into, I think, everything the Steelers are planning. And I don't think the draft would go this crazy into the direction of offense.
Yeah.
But I actually think in a weird way, it's probably a little bit more likely than the best case scenario.
The other way around. I agree. Yeah. I also don't think that there's going to be enough teams that bite at the quarterback apple. I think McCarthy will go. I am not as confident that Penix will go. I think there's a 50-50 chance Bo Nix could go. But those aren't guarantees. But here's the thing. You're looking at some of the prospects that are here. Like you have listed, Tyler Guyton of Oklahoma and then Jordan Morgan of Arizona. They're your 2 offensive tackles. Those are guys that would not take it 20th
overall. Those would be pretty clear settling slash reaching, whatever you want to call it.
You'd need to trade back to get those guys. I also wouldn't take Zach Frazier 20th. I would trade back to get him. But I would really look at Terrion Arnold or Cooper DeJean at 20th. Those are 2 guys that look like potential superstars in your secondary. Cooper DeJean can play all over the field. He can play outside. He can play slot. He can play safety. Terrion Arnold, I know he ran like a 4.5 in the 40-yard dash, but to me, he's the best pure technique corner, and he's great at open field tackling, which you know the Steelers love.
And he gets compared to Minka a lot coming out of that Alabama program. Mm-hmm. I mean, he, much like Minka Fitzpatrick, he was a Nick Saban favorite.
Yes.
You know, once again, kind of like we were saying with J.C. Latham and Brian Thomas, Terrion Arnold didn't visit here. There could be a number of reasons for that. First of all, it could be because he's just a very clean prospect. You don't really need to do any more due diligence on him.
All the things we've heard are that he's good in the locker room and great on the field.
I don't think he has any medical concerns either, really. You know, they were at his pro day. They go to Tuscaloosa every year. They might have been knowing Terrion Arnold and J.C. Latham for years now. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a huge hang up to me, but it's also probably a situation where they just don't think he's going to be there at 20.
I think so, too, because there's a lot of people that have him as the top cornerback in this class, even though Quinyon Mitchell ran an amazing 40-yard time, as did Nate Wiggins and Cooper DeJean. But you just look at his tape, and Terrion Arnold is tough to deny there. But, again, in a worst-case scenario, he might end up being your best case. But I think that's the great thing about this draft class, Brian, is that a worst-case scenario is if they don't get to tackle it there. But if there's such a run at tackle, something else of importance is going to be there, whether it's center, whether it's corner, or wide receiver.
Yeah, I think I even wrote in there, when you're picking 20, there's not that many nightmare scenarios that you present itself. You're still getting one of the 20th best players in the draft, provided that you don't move down. And, you know, in this draft, it would be very surprising nationally if Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama, didn't go in the top 20. I still don't think the Steelers would probably pull the trigger on a position where they're so well stocked. But you could, you know, maybe get somebody trading up or something, get some extra picks, pile it up.
That's where I think it could be really interesting is if the let's say this happens and the Steelers are like, look, you'd be happy with Arnold or DeGene or Frazier or any of these guys or Mitchell, but let's trade back like the Packers are a team that they want to move up from 25. The Packers have the 41st pick in the second round. Maybe you swap picks in first and seconds. You get a lower first but a higher second round pick, and that way maybe you get DeGene or Arnold later in the first, and then you can still get Zach Frazier in the early part of the second round. And then you're like, hey, you've addressed offensive line, but you also got a really prime skill position player while not overspending for either.
Yeah, it's just the intriguing, fun stuff to think about as you come down the stretch toward draft time. I mean, there's so many players in this draft whose ranges might be between 8 and 28 for where they're going to get picked. Absolutely. And all that is going to, who the Steelers take is going to be predicated on all those moving parts and all those factors. So, yeah, I mean, again, like I said, you're going to be happy probably with whomever you get at number 20. That's one of the virtues of getting knocked out of the first round of the playoffs. But in this case, yeah, there would be some question marks and concerns about what kind of player are you getting in here. Maybe you're not going to have an instant impact starter at tackle and or center.
Absolutely. You mentioned about having fun at this part of the draft process, because now we're less than a week away. It starts next Thursday on the 25th. Again, be here at Mike's Beer Bar, where we'll be doing a live show with the Post-Gazette. Myself, Adam Bittner, Jason Mackey, Paul Zeiss, Brian and Jerry and Ray will be on site for us, and we'll be bringing them in. But either
Ray
way,
and I will. I don't know about Jerry.
Jerry's too big time for us, man. We got to pay him extra for that.
Yes.
But point being, this will be a great live show.
He'll be writing
during
sure,
the first, second, and third rounds of the draft next Thursday and Friday. But to get ready for that fun, Brian has a great fun segment idea, and it's ranking these different prospects in the offensive line that Steelers are looking at, but as pizza slices. What are we doing there? We'll explain that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette right after this. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Facto, one of our great Steelers beat writers. Now, Brian, you posed this segment idea to me like 2 days ago, and I was like, let's do it, because I love pizza, and you want to compare the top offensive line prospects for the Steelers to pizza slices. And it occurred to me this, Brian.
Yes.
Before we determine who's where, we also have to determine what are the top pizza slices.
Okay. Yeah. So the reason why I even texted you about this on, I don't know, it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I also feel bad. You just said off air before we came on how hungry you are. So this probably isn't going to help.
It's making me hungrier.
I'm going to hang around, film another video with Adam Bittner. You at least get to go and get some pizza if that's what you decide. But no, my kid was in a cooking class the other day and they made Hawaiian pizza. And as much as I, you know, constantly think about my children and then also think about the NFL draft at all times, those two things just mind melded. And here's what I've got. I mean, plain, obviously, pepperoni.
Yes.
Buffalo chicken.
Yes.
Barbecue chicken.
Oh, I like barbecue chicken.
Yeah. Veggie.
Veggie's always classic.
Hawaiian pizza. That's what my kid was making in his class.
That's cool. I'm not a pineapple on pizza guy, but it's not a bad option.
Yeah. Then I've got white pizza.
White pizza's classic.
Meat lovers.
Ooh.
And then or we'll have like a wild card one at the end.
A wild card.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, personally, I'm a pepperoni guy. You give me a pepperoni pizza, Chris is happy no matter when and where he is. But let me.
I'm a buff chick guy. And, you know, that's sort of pointing toward what we're going to get to here.
So who's your buffalo chicken pizza guy in this pizza slice of this draft class?
Amarius Mims.
Ooh. And he was your top guy. So
he was.
You definitely do think buffalo chicken is the best pizza.
Yes. So there's levels to this. But no, I mean, I think he's polarizing among people. There's so many going to say, what, 8 starts at the college level, injury concerns.
Buffalo chicken's polarizing.
It is, but ceiling very high, floor very low. I've had bad buffalo chicken pizza, even though I really like it.
You mess it up.
Yes, and then you have people who just, they don't want really anything spicy with their pizza. So that's going to, you know, just be that subset of people who, no. We can't draft anybody in the first round who's got that little tape, out there at you know, starting at the college level.
All right, so let's get
even fancy, if it is Georgia.
Let's get fancy here. Your Hawaiian pizza, like Hawaiian, is always the gun that's like, hey, we're thinking outside the box. We're getting here.
Yeah.
Who's your Hawaiian pizza?
Yeah, this is one he's not going to be for everybody, but he's going to have some really strong proponents to those who like it. Taliesin Fuaga from Oregon State. You know, there's going to be some people say he's not going to even play tackle in the NFL. He's more of a guard.
Some people say he's a guard, yeah.
He's more of a guard. He's like, you know, a barroom brawler. He's going to play in a phone booth. He's going to struggle with speed on the edge. Don't try to line him up against pass rushers at the NFL level. That's kind of what you hear. That's kind of the propaganda that you hear against Hawaiian pizza sometimes. But the irony here
is that protect against edge rushers.
The irony here is don't put fruit on pizza. The irony here is that you are a big Taliesin Fuaga fan,
yes,
and yet you just tell us you don't like Hawaiian pizza.
That's the thing. I'm so torn now. I'm like, what am I supposed to believe now about Hawaiian pizza? Maybe I need to give it another shot because I'm a big Fuaga guy. All right. So you mentioned meat lovers.
He's also part Hawaiian, I believe.
Yes, he is.
So
he's a big actually Fautanu was a big Polamalu fan. So
I do, yeah.
Where does Fautanu fall in your list?
So I've got Troy Fautanu as white pizza because
why is that?
Because he's missing a key ingredient. White pizza is missing sauce.
It is.
Troy Fautanu is not even 6'4". So he is extremely short for an NFL tackle, if that's what the Steelers view him as. Mm-hmm. I tend to think it is. And he's somebody who he'll always have guard and center as fallback plans for him in the NFL. I think he'll succeed at the next level. And I personally like white pizza too. But again, that's something that it's not for everybody. So some people are going to discount Troy Fautanu sticking at tackle. But, you know, we'll see what the Steelers think of him and, you know, whether he's there at 20, if they take him, if they think he can flip from left side at Washington to right, or if he's just destined to be something a little different than everybody sees right now.
Not who I had penciled in a white pizza in this draft class. But I want to ask you about meat lovers. Because
this is not literal. These are, these are.
Why did you think I was going there?
Figurative. I guess my Taliesin Fuaga Hawaiian thing was a little bit more literal. But I digress.
Anyway, let's get to I want to hear about meat lovers. When I think meat lovers, I think about movers, guys that are going to get people. I want the carnivores. Who's the meat lover pizza guy?
And they've got it all, right? I mean, you've got pepperoni, bacon, sausage.
You said you weren't going to make me hungry.
You could have steak on there.
Look what he's doing to me.
So I got to get the most versatile lineman in the draft, and that would be Graham Barton to
Ooh.
Me from Duke. Could be tackle.
I like
guard, most likely a center. And, you know, I'll just go ahead and loop these in right now. He's the souped-up version of Pepperoni, which I have as Jackson Powers Johnson.
Okay, classic.
And Plain, which is Zach Frazier.
Okay.
Which is just kind of like, you're never really going to go wrong.
You can't go wrong with those.
Nobody's going to be mad about getting a plain piece of pizza, right? But sometimes people are going to want more. Yes. Sometimes people are going to want more with a little pepperoni. I think Jackson Powers Johnson's got a little more pizzazz, not just in his game, but his personality. If you watch any interviews with him, and then obviously Graham Barton might be kind of the total package there, which is why I'm putting the meat lovers tag on him.
All right. So you mentioned about having a veggie pizza. When I think veggie pizza.
No, let's save that later. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to go barbecue chicken here.
Barbecue chicken.
Remember, Amarius Mims is buffalo chicken. So you got to get something pretty similar.
Yeah.
Just slightly different flavor. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma.
Okay.
They're just about the same size.
Yeah.
Neither one of them is the most experienced guy. Mm. Both are physical marvels, athletic freaks, specimens. You know, God-given abilities at 6'8". Guyton's like 320, I guess. Mims like 340. Mm. So just a slightly different spin for me personally. I'm definitely more of a buff chick pizza than barbecue chicken.
Same here. I feel like you comparatively too, if I'm picking buffalo chickens in my upper tier, whereas barbecue chickens in like the upper part of my second tier, where that's exactly where I have Tyler Guyton in this draft class. He's the first second round tackle that I would look at if I needed a second round tackle in this class. All right. So there, you also mentioned some wild flavors here. Out there once.
J.C. Latham, we've discussed him in the first two segments to varying degrees. Don't think he's going to make it to 20. So I've got him as the steak ranchero pizza.
Whoa. I've never had steak ranchero pizza. It's too fancy.
Exactly.
It's too expensive.
And it's not always going to be there
when
you go to a pizza shop. So, but if you get a good one, there's a lot going on there. Could be a miss. You know, we'll see about Latham, but probably the highest upside. I mean, you are putting the highest cut of meat on that.
Highest,
steak,
indeed. And I think there's a lot of upside to Latham. You had him at the 10th overall pick in your
worst case
scenario draft here. All right. So last slice here, we've left veggie for last.
Yeah.
So it feels like when you're getting veggie, there's some people that love vegetarian pizza.
Yeah.
I can eat it, but it's one of those things like I'm eating it and it's because I settled for something less.
If you're at the pizza party and like all the boxes are cleared out, there's probably going to be a few pieces of the veggie pizza
exactly.
left.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I've got Cedric Van Pran from Georgia. Nothing against Cedric Van Pran, but he's kind of in that next group of centers, I think.
I agree. He's in the next tier.
He helped them win two national championships at the Pivot for Georgia. Mm-hmm. So obviously, and you know, veggie pizza, good for you, relatively speaking.
Yes.
Getting some greens in there. But I'd say that's just kind of the last resort. He might be the Steelers' last resort to try to get a day one starting center in this draft, round two, three. Maybe even four if he slips that far.
Mike Tomlin did say that there are only a handful of centers they consider plug and play in this draft class. In my book, that's Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier, and then Cedric Van Pran. After Cedric Van Pran, you are hoping for a Bo Limmer or a Hunter Norzad, who they recently had in for a visit.
From Penn State, yeah.
Yeah, and that would put the Steelers in a rough spot where they might need to go find a veteran or see if that while bringing Mason Cole back. I think that they want to find that center in this draft class, which is why one of those top four guys that you put here as pizza slices are there. So, okay, Brian, if you are – so in this case, the case scenario, you're a Buffalo Chicken guy here. Like, if you're the Steelers, you want to be eating Buffalo Chicken and drafting a Marius Mims.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to chance it with the Buff Chick pizza there and Broderick Jones, sort of your side of ranch to dip that in.
Ooh.
I think I made it pretty clear – I like most slices of pizza. There's not a lot that I would turn down. Certainly don't prefer the veggie, but it can get you through. Very, very few, really no such thing as bad pizza.
This is very true.
I could have gotten real, like, controversial if I would have brought out, like, deep dish.
Oh, listen.
You know, thin crust.
I was just in Indianapolis.
Square pizza.
I had some good deep dish pizza while I was there. Was very happy to experience that. But those are your pizza slices. Maybe you want some Buffalo Chicken. Maybe you want a Marius Mims. Order some Buffalo Chicken pizza. Maybe you can get some here at Mike's Beer Bar.
I was going to say, I could have compared them to beers, but that might have just been a little too
on-brand.
Yeah.
But, hey.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. But, hey, you get to experience all the different food options and the amazing beer options here at Mike's Beer Bar. Well, again, we will be here. Brian won't, but I will be here with our team of the Post-Gazette writers here covering the draft live. If you want to follow along with us, you can be here at Mike's Beer Bar, or you can tune into the live stream that'll be happening at the same time right here on your favorite podcast. Well, on YouTube and on Facebook, and where all things that we stream to. You can also catch the post game show of that on your favorite podcasting app. But be sure to subscribe to the North Shore Drive podcast wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the future episodes coming out. We still have preview episodes coming out Monday and Wednesday, as well as all of our daily content. Look out for our final NFL draft video for the weekends coming out with Adam Bittner later this weekend. We'll be here on the North Shore Drive podcast. See you again next week as we continue our approach to the Steelers picks in the NFL draft.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.